Well, the first time I read this passage in preparation for this morning, I was both amused and saddened. You see, one of our evening congregations is doing the book of Judges, and you could say the sermon that I preached last Sunday night, which encompassed the first couple of chapters of the book of Judges, was basically about how Israel has failed to do everything in this passage. It's sort of depressing to come from that point of the story back to this part, and I don't want to bring too much of that into here, but one of the things that I am learning and one of the things that I love about Scripture is that it's helpful to us to show us how to learn from humanity's previous mistakes in some part. So let's go there, because as it turns out, people can kind of suck. We're not always good at following through. We don't listen to the warnings of our elders. We've not been good at times at passing down our faith. We often forget why we choose to follow Jesus, and that God is God, and so he actually knows what's best for us. But we also think that we know better. We know ourselves better. We know our situations better. But spoiler alert, we don't. We actually don't. And there is story after story in the Bible and throughout human history that proves this. And our desires to try and control everything in our lives and sometimes in other people's lives is what seems to consistently get us into a mess. We might not even realize that we've done it or that we're doing it, but we choose to worship and love people or processes more than we choose to love God sometimes. And most of the time, it's that that lands us in a mess. And I don't say this to guilt, but I say it because actually there's a freedom in this for us. And there is good news, and there is a way out. The central theme of today's passage, and in my opinion, all of Scripture, is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And that, to me, is how we make corrections for the erring of our own hearts. Not do all the right things, not follow this 10-step plan, not have all the right spiritual gifts, not follow all these specific rules, but love the Lord your God. Well, what does that actually look like for us? As Christians, we are people who live with this command, but we live within the reign of Jesus, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, something that most of Israel didn't have the privilege of. So what does it mean for us to lay our lives down to God? How do we lay down our lives for the love of God? Mark kind of just preached everything that I needed to say, so I'll go a different track. Now, conveniently, because I was sitting where I was sitting, having preached Judges, he said all the things I probably would have said if I hadn't been sitting in the space that I'm sitting. And that's the incredible thing about preaching, is that I think God uses our circumstances to speak into what is going on. And so I want us to explore this passage and this verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, sometimes all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, every time I say that verse, I immediately start singing in my head, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love all of mankind as you would love yourself and love. Anyway, for those of you who did not have the privilege of growing up in the 90s, that was an around, but the incredible thing about music is that it actually impresses these things on our hearts. And we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. So what does that mean? I found a beautiful quote from Julian of Norwich during the week, which for the life of me, I cannot find again. But it is about seeking to find the balance between reverence and familiarity. That is what fearing the Lord is. It's not to be afraid, but to put him in his rightful place. To think about the things and the people in this world that we revere, and how much more does God deserve that of us? And at the same time, he loves us, and we are to love him. And that is a relationship that comes deeper than a separated reverence. It's important for us not to let God become so distant and revered and feared, but it's also important not to become so familiar that we forget that God is God. And so what does it mean for us to love him with all of our heart? It means to fear him and to serve him. Not out of obligation, not because that's what someone told us that we should do, but out of a heart response to who he is and what he has done in our lives. And I think sometimes we have this balance between our hearts and our minds, our souls, our whatever word you want to use for that, where we kind of have to, like, this is our heart response and this is our mind response, but our heart and our mind come together. And so we have to love God with all our heart and with all our mind. We want to know and obey his commands, right? And it's the same thing. It's not out of obligation. It's not about crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but it's a response of who he is. We seek to follow the law of God because we know that God's will is good. We know what he has done for us. And so verse 8, I think it's 8. Let me double check that. Well, it starts a bit earlier than that. Verse 6 in this passage, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. But we want to get them into the mind as well as the hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. The only way for us to consistently remember these things in our minds is to pass them on, to write them down, to make sure that we have them, right? And that's one of the reasons why we encourage people to read the Bible every day. And different seasons of life look different. But we're not just reading scripture in order to see what God has to say to me today. We're reading scripture to remind ourselves of who God is, what he has done, and the goodwill that he has for this world. And so we pass on what we have learned and the things that we know about who God is to our children, most importantly. We want to ensure that we as parents, I can say that now, can't I? We as parents are the main and primary people that are showing their faith to their children. I have a friend who told me a story a number of years ago. And they said they woke up early one day and they walked downstairs, and they're one of many kids, walked downstairs, found their dad in his study, reading his Bible and, you know, doing his morning devotional. I said, what are you doing? You don't do this. He said, no, I've done this every year for the past 30 years, every day for the past 30 years. And that story saddens me. Because how are we passing on what we know of who God is to our children? How are we ensuring that our children, whether they are your biological children or the children of the church in their family, how are we ensuring that they are seeing who God is? How are we impressing it on their hearts, who he is and what he has done? But not just the children, also everyone else. And most specifically, those who are new to knowing him. I think It's very easy. I am a minister's kid, married to a minister's kid. I grew up in the church. We know a lot about the Bible in my household. But it's very easy for us to forget that a lot of other people, including many of you here, didn't grow up hearing the stories of Jacob and Daniel and David and Samuel and Saul and, you know, that just conveniently rhymed. I didn't even mean that one. These people that have been used by God over time. But the most interesting thing for me, as someone who grew up in the church and then studied theology, is that a lot of those people are not these really super impressive, perfect heroes that I feel like they were impressed upon me as a child. In fact, a lot of them have failings. And those failings are actually important. Because we are human, we are not perfect. And it's important to us remind ourselves that we're not Jesus, we're not God, but that God chooses to use us. What a privilege that we are called children of God. And so we pass on what we have learned, we impress it on those around us, we tell the stories of what God has done. It's one of the reasons why we sought to introduce the Thanksgiving moment, because isn't it great to hear the stories of what God has done and what God is doing? Because it reminds ourselves, as we remember the stories of things God has done in our life, we remember this for ourselves who He is and how He cares, and we'd help to tell others. So if you have a story of something that God has done, I want to encourage you to tell myself or Tavis or Adam or Amanda when she's back from leave, or Joe or anyone on our star team, or just tell someone sitting next to you. Because you never know that that might be the exact thing, an encouragement that that person needed to hear to impress upon their heart today and impress upon their mind who Jesus is. So we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind. We fear the Lord. We know and we obey His commands. And we love Him with all our strength. Which is a kind of hard one to come up with, like, what's the practical? Because immediately we think strength, like, okay, I'm going to go lift weights. But for me, it is about living in the world, but not of the world. It is the verses in this passage where God talks about how Israel will go into the land and they will be given all these things that they didn't work for. But the most important thing is that they don't let themselves be overrun by the gods and the practices of the people who remain in the land, those who do not worship the one true God. So we live in the world, but not of the world. We don't just want to know who God is. We don't just want to feel it in our hearts. We want to live it. Pardon me. We actually want to let it out into the world around us. Tuesday morning, Lisa Day, who is doing archiving stuff for our church, she's sort of working through all of our old archives, she came into the staff meeting with this impressive little sheet of paper that was a Sunday school quiz where the great gift for having read it, or was it a gift quiz, it was kind of homework, and it was, you know, take this home, read these verses as a family, and then, if you come back to the vicar the next week with the having said that your family has read all these specific verses, then you will get a gift. Does anyone want to guess what that gift was? No? Okay. You know, you think about Amanda, our current children's worker, and what that gift would be today. Chocolate. Yeah, no. It was a copy of the Gospels. What a beautiful gift. I would hope that most of those families probably already had one in their house, but that's okay. But that point of this story is that as we look at this chapter in Deuteronomy, these verses were all about the passages in the New Testament, and the one that it most pointed me to was the Golden Rule, Matthew 7:12. So in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. For me, that is the summary of what it is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Because it's important for us to not take this verse away, this section of scripture away from the chapter before it. This chapter is these are the commands, decrees, and laws that God has asked you to do these things. Those commands, decrees are the Ten Commandments and the parts around that. But when you get to the depth of the Ten Commandments, the real meaning underneath them, they are about do to others what you would have them do to you. Or as Jesus says later in Matthew, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We want to live our lives in the love of God. And what does that mean for us? It means to love the Lord with all our heart, to fear him, to put him in his rightful place, to love him with all of our minds, to know and obey his commands, and with all of our strength, to serve him with all that we are, not to serve the other gods of this world, but to live in this world and know that we are of his. And the great blessing of being Christians is that we have the Holy Spirit as our strength. We don't walk on our own. We walk with the Spirit of God within us, teaching us, guiding us, showing us. And so how do we impress this on ourselves in our day-to-day lives? For me, it's about being in the Word and in prayer. And I want to take that away from what many of us grew up being taught, having our nice, quiet time, which works really well for a number of you and is fantastic. But for others, it's never worked, and all you do is feel guilty about it not working. And so I want to encourage you to explore the ways that we can refresh ourselves in God and remind him ourselves of who he is and what he has done in word and prayer. Grace, I'm sorry I'm pulling you out right now because looking at you reminded me of this. Grace used to listen to the Bible or podcast. Was it you or Anna? One of you? Both of you? While you're doing the dishes and stuff? I love this. Like, that's what works for them in their seasons of life. That actually a Bible podcast or listening to scripture or Lectio 365 or whatever app it is that you might use that works for you, while you're also having to get things done because some of us have small people. Some of us just have hectic lives without small people. But it's about being in communion with God as we walk each day. Because the one risk of having a quiet time and a set quiet time is that you go, all right, tick, done that time with God for the day. And you can walk out the door and forget about it for the rest of the day. Now, hopefully your time with God has shaped you. And I say all this as someone for whom a quiet time does not work. But I walk a lot, as much as I can, mostly because my dog makes me. And I spend time in prayer and reminding myself of the word there. But I want to encourage us that loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength is not actually about doing it on our own. We live in a very individualistic society. We've forgotten, well, I mean, a lot of the world has forgotten that actually it works to do a lot of these things in community. And so I want to encourage you that as you seek to step into a life of prayer, to do that in community. Now, you're here this morning, either in person or online, so you've already made that step. But I want to encourage you in a few ways that you can engage with our community in prayer this month. We have just introduced a new schedule for our prayer nights because some people were finding it hard to remember which Monday night was the ones that we were praying on. So every Monday night, someone will be here to pray. And the first Monday of the month, we will be praying for our world and our church. The second and the fourth Monday of the month will be in the prayer room. It's fine. You'll just turn up at 8 o'clock on a Monday and you'll be here to pray with some people. Second and fourth Monday of the month will be in the prayer room. It'll be a smaller, more informal gathering. Unless it grows, which is great, then we'll move back to the church. And on the third Monday of the month, I'm going to start pressing us into more of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, exploring what it looks like for us to have healing spaces again, something a few people have requested, spend a bit of time in worship. What does that look like? So our first Monday of the month is our more intercessory night. Our third Monday of the month is our more Holy Spirit night, if that's how you want to phrase it. Our prayer room is now open for anyone to use. At the moment, we're just working out the final OH&S issues. So if you want to use it in the evening, you can do so as a group, but not as individuals yet. But if you want to use it during the day, it is available there. You can book it online. You can find all the information on our website. We have Pentecost coming up. What an incredible opportunity for us to pray. So the Monday after Pentecost, we'll be having a big kind of something in here. I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm still shaping it up. And something separate that God has been doing as part of my role, but kind of in relationships and conversations I've been having with people from other churches, is on the 16th of May, the information is still shaping up because the cathedral took us a long time to get back to us with the date. The 16th of May, we're having a prayer night at the cathedral, and that's led by a number of different people from across the Anglican Diocese. We have just felt a sense that God is calling us to come together and pray. For those of you who don't know much about the Anglican system, our Archbishop, so that's the person who kind of oversees, he's like the CEO, kind of, except there's also a CEO. Anyway, it's going to get confusing if I go too far. The Archbishop is about to retire. And the next season of the Anglican Diocese of Melbourne will be very heavily shaped by who the next Archbishop is. But at the same time, there are a number of people that I am in community with across the diocese who feel a real sense and call to unity across the Diocese of Melbourne. And it's funny because most of those people are in churches that have historically kind of stepped themselves back from the diocese. And we feel like God is calling us to step in and to join in with that and to pray. As prayerful people to join with him. So the 16th of May in St. Paul's Cathedral, time to TBD, but I'll put some information up this week. I would love to invite you to come and join us as we start to step into that. Because the church is not just about our church here, it is about the broader church and about everyone in this city coming to know Jesus Christ. But most of all, I want to encourage you, whether you can make it to one of these things, or whether you're praying in your small groups, or you're praying with your families, or you're praying with a good group of friends, to love God and commune with Him. Because that's what prayer is about. To remind ourselves of who God is, to be with Him, to be shaped by Him. And as I was praying about and preparing for this morning, the sense that I had is that there are people in our church community who need a refreshing of what it actually means to fear or love the Lord. And so I want to finish this morning by letting us spend a bit of time praying into that. I'm going to invite Winnie up. She's going to play some music. Some of you have been in spaces where music has been used to manipulate. This is not that. For me, it's a sense of focusing, knowing, and also helping us to clear our minds from everything else that's going on as we come to God in prayer. And I want to encourage you, we've got about 5 minutes. We can go for a bit longer if we need to. To invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you this morning. And I'm going to pray at the front here, sometimes out loud, sometimes quietly. If I start speaking, don't be disengaged from any conversation you're having with God. But I want to pray for some who might need a new love of Jesus, a new love for the Father, a new love for the Holy Spirit. It may be that you feel like when you first became a Christian, you were like all on fire, ready, full of love and desire to see God's will be done here on earth. But it feels at the moment like it's a little bit like war. And there are some of you that I sense have a need for a new understanding of who God is. To really truly know His heart for you. And that there are some here that may have been raised in a space that taught you that all about all the things that you had to do or obey to be a Christian, but you don't feel like you ever actually sensed that love. So I want to pray for a renewed understanding for you of who God is. And for all of us, pray that we would find that balance that is so hard to find between what it is to fear the Lord, but also call Him friend, that we might serve Him. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we can call You friend, that we can call You brother. And the intimacy that comes from that in knowing You. Lord, I lift each person here in this room to You. Lord, You know the things that are on their hearts. You know every piece of them. You knit them together in their mother's womb. Their story more than any of us ever could. So Lord, I pray that You would be with each person here this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. I encourage you, if you feel comfortable, to put your hands out like you're receiving a gift. It's just a way of physically showing that we are open to hearing from God. Love, we pray for an increase. For a sense of peace. A sense of understanding of what it is to love you. Where people have been taught that showing emotion is weakness, I pray that you would break that for them this morning. We have no fear of tears here. We have no fear of joy. The Ten Commandments or these decrees to obey your command and feel a tension within their body rise up. I pray for a release and freedom. For a new freedom to love and serve you. Most of all, I pray that each person here in this room would know what it is to love you, Lord, with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their strength, today and forever.